Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's robnunphoto.com. SEL is proud to be sponsored by GoToMeeting from Citrix and is a member of the Tech Podcast Network. Find more great podcasts at techpodcasts.com. Now, on with the show. Hi everybody and welcome to SEL, the Subject, Composition and Light Photography Podcast. My name's Rob from robnunphoto.com and this is my little audio diary of my journey through the wonderful world of photography. Well, here we go, it's episode 186 and I'm recording this one on the 9th of April and Bank Holiday Monday in the UK here in Gosport on the south coast of England, and it is tipping it down, as you'd probably expect. For people who don't live in the UK, bank holidays are, I guess it's just an extra day's holiday, you kind of get clagged onto a weekend, and the Easter one is a bigger one, because you have Good Friday, and then you have the Monday off as well, and it normally rains on bank holidays in England, so it is. I've had a really busy week though. Haven't had a chance to take that many photographs out and about, because we've had stock take at work, and if you work in retail or any type of business where you have to do stock takes, you know what a nightmare they are, get everything tidy. You have to go in really early, and get everything counted. I did go to our Southampton store and cover there on Friday. Was it Friday? Yeah, and whenever we cover other stores, we get hire cars. And I had this nice little Fiat 500. And as I got there a bit earlier, I thought it might be a good opportunity to do a quick test video with my the Galaxy Nexus mobile phone, which was quite cool. And what I did was I took some stills and I took some video. And on the new version of Google Android Ice Cream Sandwich, you can act, there's a new program, let's see what it's called, called Movie Studio, where you can actually edit video and export it as well. And I managed to edit and pull together these video clips and these stills and add some transitions and a little title and uploaded them to YouTube. So I'll put a link. It's got quite a steep learning curve, this program. And if you've got an Android smartphone that's got Ice Cream Sandwich on and you've got Movie Studio and you've tried to use it and you're a little bit stumped, my biggest tip is always do it in put your phone in landscape mode, put it on its side. And then everything starts to come together, but I will do a video on how to use it. For some reason, it crashed on when I was trying to do some of the more difficult trans... Was it difficult? Well, I was trying to do these pans. Anyway, I won't talk about that now, because we've got Valentino, our grandson, here today. So he's actually going back this afternoon, but he's playing rather nicely downstairs with Suzanne, so I thought I'd take the opportunity to record a quick podcast. And what I would really like to do this week is just talk about some fundamental principles or ideas that you might want to think about as we roll into summer. You know, these are the times when the light suddenly becomes beautiful. Though it's not beautiful at other times of year, but there's more of it, especially if you live towards the extremities of the hemispheres, in the northern hemisphere anyway. The days are getting longer. We can go out in the evenings after work. We can get up early and shoot in the morning. And it's a great time to kind of have a spring clean, not only of all our kit physically, you know, get the bags out and dust everything down, get the Hoover inside that camera bag, suck all the dust out, but also metaphorically as well with our attitude to our photographs and maybe some different things that we could try as well. Because we often try and start things in the new year, but, you know, it's cloudy, it's rainy, the weather's horrible. And you don't really get into your stride, or I don't get into my photographic stride, really, until the spring and summer start to come along. But first, a word from our sponsor, which is, as ever, GoToMeeting, which is an online conference call software. And basically, It gives you an opportunity to be able to collaborate with colleagues all over the country or all over the world via high-definition video, where you can see each other's desktops as well. So with colleagues working from home or travelling for business, getting everybody together for a meeting can be an impossible task. But I've got the solution. Go to Meeting with HD Faces. Your team can meet face-to-face while online, no matter where they are. It takes only seconds. It's incredibly easy. GoToMeeting by Citrix allows you to collaborate on files and plans online. And with HD Faces, you just need a webcam to turn your online meeting into a group HD video conference. And now you can even participate on the go using the built-in camera on your iPad. Just download the free GoToMeeting app to join. You know, and there's nothing quite like being able to see the person you're talking to, or the people you're talking to in a meeting, to really get them involved. And I'm not just talking about in a nice way, but you know, if you've ever been on conference calls and you've held them, or you've been part of one, you know that half the time you've got the newspaper there and you're flicking through it, or you're playing Word with Friends or Scrabble on your smartphone. So, I love GoToMeeting. It really does make online conference calls very, very productive. And you can start hosting your own face-to-face meetings today with GoToMeeting. And everybody, all my listeners, can try it free for 30 days. So, don't wait. Try this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. So, visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. Make sure you use the promo code PODCAST. And I'd like to thank GoToMeeting for sponsoring the SCL Photography Podcast. Okay, so some ideas for things to rattle around in your head when you're out and about with your camera. Things that might influence you to take your photographs in a slightly different way. Now, you may remember back on episode 179 of SCL, I was talking about how you could improve your photography instantly, and it wasn't a new idea, it was an old idea, and Austin Beeman put a response in the comments in the show notes for SCL 179, and my whole idea behind that podcast was to say, look, if you want to get better at photography, the easiest and most immediate way you can do it is by only showing your best photographs off Flickr, Facebook, ones you print out and show to friends, that sort of thing. If you become your own, I was going to say worst enemy then, but your own editor, and really edit out all of the photographs that you think aren't excellent, then by definition, the remaining photographs will be excellent, and you'll be a better... people will see you as a better photographer. And Austin Beeman left this great comment, which I love, and he said, "The best photo advice I ever received was, no one will judge you by the photos you take. They will only judge you by the photos you show them." I think that's so, so true. You know, if you only show your very, very best, people will think you're a fantastic photographer. But if your very, very best is hidden with photographs that aren't quite so good, then, you know, people aren't gonna find it the same way. You know, if you and the idea I kind of equate it to, that you, most of us can imagine in our heads, is imagine that front cover of Sports Illustrated or Cosmopolitan or Vogue, you know, a big magazine that you'd see on the newsstands. How many photographs did that photographer have to take to come up with that one image that they used on that cover, you know, or that newspaper? You know, how many did he or she have to take? And imagine, say it's a fashion shoot, imagine that photographer there, ching, 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 loads of different outfits, loads of different lighting setups, loads of different compositions, you know, and then they get that final one that the editor or the photo editor says, that's the one we're going to put on the photo, on the cover, that's the best photo. And they do that. And yes, there might well be a few more that they use inside in an editorial or an article, but they take hundreds and hundreds to come up with that one photo. Imagine a photographer at the FA Cup final or at the Super Bowl, and they're shooting the cover for Sports Illustrated. I mean, you don't know you're shooting the cover, do you? You just shoot lots and lots of photographs, but I'd imagine they shoot thousands of photographs for one game, and then the editor of Sports Illustrated will have a look and say, that's the one. That's the one photograph. So out of 1,000 images that photographer might take, one of them, if he's lucky or she's lucky, will then become the cover. So, you know, something to think about maybe this year and this summer. share less. Well, you've got two choices, haven't you? You can either share less, or you can shoot more so you have more better photographs. But think about that. No one will judge you by the photos you take. They will only judge you by the photos you show them. Thanks very much, for Austin Beeman, for distilling what I was talking about. Now, next sort of tip. What's the subject of your photograph? Really start thinking about when you're standing there and wandering around. If you're like me, I kind of wander around a location looking for things that catch my eye. But when you do see something that catches your eye, stand back a little bit. Before you take the photographs, have a look and think, what actually am I taking a photograph of? Is it this nice shape of this arch and the people walking or riding underneath it? And when you kind of decide on that, make it big. Maybe it's get closer, maybe it's used with your feet, maybe it's use telephoto lens and get a little bit closer that way. I'm a big fan of saying that you don't always know what you've got until you've got home. I know some photographers say, oh yeah, you know when you click the button, you know when you've got that magic image, but sometimes you're not sure. So I'm a big fan of working the scene, you know, start wide and then closer and closer and make the subject as big as you can. A real simple one, always have your camera with you. Most of us have got mobile phones on now, and it's probably got a camera phone. It's probably got a camera on it. Use it. Take those pictures. Travel light. Another little thing. I found now my perfect kit, really, is just my 350D with the 18-55, the 55-250, spare battery, spare memory cards, cleaning cloths, blower, and that's really it. I've even stopped taking that little, remember I talked about that little wide angle converter that screws to the front? I've taken that out of my camera bag, mainly because the image quality isn't that brilliant with it, but also the fact that it adds more weight, and I just like to run light, you know, and less is more for me. You can be out shooting for longer, you can concentrate for longer if you've got less stuff to weigh you down. Look for shapes, lines and colours. This is something that particularly appeals to me. I think I'm kind of starting to define my style now. And actually, I'm going off on a tangent a little bit. They just released Instagram for Android. If you've got an iPhone, you're probably already using Instagram, but they've released it for Android, and I've been playing around with it, posting photos that I've taken with the phone and added effects to, and also older photos that I've taken with the 350D or other cameras and added them on as well. I started by doing a few shots and adding, you know, vignettes and processing and things like that, and I kind of stopped. I stopped myself and thought, no, wait a minute. They look interesting when you do that, and I can understand why people add those effects, and I enjoy looking at photos that have those effects, but is it me? Is it my style? Or am I just pressing that button just to add that Lobo effect? And I've really been thinking about my style and thinking, no, my style is black and white, geometric shapes. The best ones are the ones that have people in them as well. And then colour, when there's some sort of bold colour statement in a particular photograph. And they're the pictures I want to take and I want to share with the world, because they're the photos that I enjoy looking at as well. So I think I'm going to push back against this kind of Lomo effect. You know, if I want a Lomo effect with vignettes and things, I'm going to do it because I'm using an old camera and black and white film or old film, and it creates that effect. I'm not going to add it to my photos on that way. I'm really distilling my style, focusing my style. That's the type of photograph I want to show, I want to share. And it's only really happened recently, over the last few days, it kind of clicked. I think it's because I've been looking at so many other photographs, great photos on Instagram, and thinking, yeah, that they're great, but and I enjoy looking at them, but they're not me. They're me is something else. So watch out for that. See what happens with my Flickr photo stream. So look for shapes, lines and colours. Don't always shoot wide. This is a trap I fall into all the time. If you've got a kit lens on your DSLR, SLR, or you've got a compact camera with a zoom, or a bridge camera, or whatever, and if you've got a zoom lens, far too often we have it on wide all the time, don't we? We have it on 18mm, or 28 if it's a film 28-80, or just at the widest setting if it's a compact camera. And although that's great because you can fit loads of stuff in, you end up with often a little bit of barrel distortion, It's not the most flattering focal length for people. And, you know, it's nice to have lots of prime lenses and swap them out. But if we just look down at our lens, if you've got an SLR, you'll probably see it probably says 18, 24, 35, 55, in this case of the Canon 18-55 IS. You know, why not try? When you get it out of the camera bag, set it to 24, which is round about 50 millimeters in old money, on a full-frame camera, and just shoot that. And move around with your legs to get everything in, because that will give you a different perspective. Because with wide angles, things do look more dramatic as buildings bend over, diagonal lines zoom away from the camera. But when you start going a little bit telephoto, not only do portraits of people become more flattering, but buildings and lines tend to converge more. And you get a different look to your photographs. Because although, you know, the majority of people with an SLR, you've got an 18-55 lens on it, when they're wandering around taking photographs, will have it on 18-55, or they'll zoom all the way to 55 if they want to get close to something. They won't just put it on, say, 35mm and shoot like that. So yeah, so think about that. When you get your camera out of the bag, just stick it on like 24 or 35 rather than leaving it on 18, and then move with your feet. Next tip, listen to your gut feelings. You listen to your gut. Well, my gut often is rumbling away when it wants a bacon sandwich. But no, what I'm talking about here is if you see something that you know you want to take a photograph, you should be taking a photograph, follow that up and take that photograph. Follow up that innocent impulse that we often, you know, that is overcome often by fear, laziness, or the fact that we think we haven't got enough time to do something. You may well have to come back. You know, you could be driving to work and you see something, and you think, oh, that's really good. So maybe the next day get up a little bit earlier or go back afterwards and make a note of that scene or that place. And then go back and take a shot and create the image, because you'll feel really good that you did it and it enables you to move on. And you don't get that feeling of, oh, God, because a lot of the time, I tell you, I'll think, oh, yeah, that's really cool, that. Let me give you an example. Recently I went down to Fareham, and there's all these arches, and I was taking photographs of arches. There goes the phone just ringing. Let's see if, I may well have to answer that, so bear with me while I'm, on the thing. Hello? Who's calling? It's who, sorry? Right, yes. Sorry about that. Right, so where was I? I was talking about following your gut and going down to... Yeah, I know what I was talking about. I was talking about... I went to Fareham, and there was these arches, because I wanted to take some pictures through the arches of different subjects, because they're geometric shapes, and I really enjoyed taking photos of geometric shapes. But when I got there, although it was a nice day and there was nice shadows and nice definition and the sun wasn't too high, so the arches themselves were looking interesting and there was people on bicycles riding past which looked interesting. The problem was there was loads of traffic. And I started shooting away, and because it was a sunny day, the camera that I was using quite, I think I was shooting about like f8 or between f8 and f3.5. The shutter speed was still really high. The shutter speed was probably a 500th, 1,000th of a second, which meant that all the traffic was just frozen. So when you looked at the pictures on the back of the camera, all you could see is, looked like the cars were parked. There was no movement. And it was kind of spoiling the images, and I was just thinking, oh God, wouldn't it be great to come back when there was no cars around? But you know, that wasn't when I was there. I was there, I was taking the photos. And so then I had to think on my feet, and thought, right, okay, so I want to, what have I got to do? Right, okay, well, I need to get rid of the cars. Well, I can't really get rid of them, because I need to use a really long exposure, and I'm handheld, I haven't got my tripod with me. But what I could do is go into, like, shutter priority mode, and go down to, like, you know, a 50th of a second, or a 25th of a second, because remember, I've got image-stabilized lenses, and I'm using a wide angle, so you can get down quite low, and then when I take a photograph, the cars will then become blurred, and you'll get a sense of movement, the pictures will become more interesting, and that's what I did. So, you know, from that point on, as soon as I realised this, you know, slow the shutter speed down, to get that blur, then I took some more interesting shots. And if I hadn't gone to the arches and come up against that problem, I wouldn't have really thought about that, and then come up with that particular solution. So it's another arrow to my quiver, another string to my bow of something to think about when we do it. Now, next up, as you're taking photos of people this spring and summer, think about the background. The background, whenever you're doing people shots, is the most important thing, because a busy background can really spoil a nice portrait. So think about making the background as simple as possible by blurring it. Alright, so to blur the background, what you need is a small depth of field, don't you? That's one of the ways of doing it. So with the lens you're using, you could then use a wide aperture. So go to aperture priority mode and go to like f3.5, f1.8, if you've got fast 50 or something. And that will help to blur the background. The other thing that's very easy to do is move your subject further away from the background. And another way you can do it as well is if you move closer to the subject. But the problem with then is as you move closer, you can be tempted to be using the wide end of your lens, which leads to unflattering portraits. So what I'd like you to do is think about this. When you're going to do photos of people, portraits, you know, headshots, body shots, full body, imagine, right, that fashion photographer, see them in your mind and think about the lens they've got on their camera. It may even help to think about, you know, when you see catwalk shows, think about the photographers are there, picture the camera and the lens they've got on, and it will be a big lens, won't it? It's always a massive long lens, even though the subject might be only be 10, 15 feet away, or less, 5 feet away, they're still using a long lens. And the reason for this is that if you use a long focal length lens, so you're like, your zoom, if you've got the 18 to 55 on, put it at 55, but get as close as you can to like the minimum focusing distance, that reduces the depth of field, and it also is more flattering, because longer focal lengths are more flattering. So if you're taking portraits of people with your compact camera or your bridge camera, don't have it on wide, zoom it in a bit, back away from the subject, so you get the same framing as you would as if you were using a wide-angle lens closer, and you'd be surprised at how much better the photographs look. What else have we got? Oh yeah, try backlighting if you're outside with people. You know, get the sun to be behind or to the side of your subject so it lights up. Don't hide behind your camera. Maybe put your camera on a tripod, have like a mark on the ground, pre-focus and shoot with the remote so you can interact. A couple of little technical tips actually as well. Remember the WIFE checklist. Always remember that before you go out. Check your white balance is correct. Check your ISO is correct. Check your focusing method is correct. And check your exposure. So white, W for WIFE, white balance, so put it on auto. Or if you're going out, I'm a big fan of just putting it on daylight or cloudy and sticking with that to give you photos of a nice warm one. Check your ISO. That's really just making sure it's at like 100 to 200 and it's not up at 1632. Check your focus. So check that your lens is on autofocus. Check you're on single focus point, if that's what you use. Check that the image stabilization is on. And with exposure, is your camera in your favoured automatic setting or manual? So, for example, maybe it be aperture. And then I'll make sure it's set to something like f5.6. The name of the podcast next, SCL, Subject, Composition and Light. So as you're approaching a photo, anything about taking one, think about what is the subject, is it nice and big, what is the composition, in other words, what composition am I going to use, am I going to go for the rule of thirds, am I going to slap it right in the middle, am I going to go for a diagonal, that sort of stuff, and where's the light and how can I use it to make the picture better, subject, composition and light. But probably the most important thing is your attitude towards your photography in the coming season. If you've got to, and I quite like doing this, get into character. Imagine you're that wildlife photographer, you know, who's out in the middle of nowhere taking pictures of Arctic foxes. If you like taking pictures of people, imagine you're Henri Cartier-Bresson as you're strutting around the city. Imagine you're Annie Leibovitz taking classic portraits of people. You know, have the attitude that you're going to go out and you're going to capture the best photos that you can possibly can. And you'll be really surprised, you probably will. So there we go. There's my tips for spring and summer shooting. Hope it's inspired everybody to go out and take some more photographs and maybe slightly change the way they do it. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do the intro and outro music on the podcast. You can find their stuff for free download at everydayjones.com. Thanks to everybody for taking part in the Flickr photo group. There's some really good stuff going on there in the recession photo assignment. But most of all, thanks to you for downloading and listening to the podcast. My name is Rob from robnumphoto.com, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.